Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Reiki Master and host, Phyllis Lee Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now, here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today I have the pleasure of interviewing Jürgen Kindler. He is my student from many, many years ago in Germany and has developed a German-speaking magazine called the Reiki Magazine, and I'm really thrilled to have you on the show, Jürgen. Welcome.
Hi, Phyllis. Nice to meet you.
Yes. And I always ask for my listeners for you to tell your Reiki story, like how you met Reiki and what it was like for you back then.
Well, I was 23, I think, and changed quite a lot of my life and did several self-development classes. And in one of those classes, people did Reiki. Well, at least they did something which they called Reiki. They actually sent distant Reiki to someone. And I felt immediately appealed to it. So I liked it a lot. And so I asked him what it is, and they explained to me. I found out about the next class which could happen. And at that time, there weren't so many Reiki masters in Germany. So I went there and took first degree. That all was very familiar to me. So it wasn't esoteric, although I didn't have to do something with esoterics before or New Age things. It wasn't called New Age that time, but was called esoteric. So I liked it and took second degree after 3 months and wanted to become a Reiki master. At that time, only you have been around to initiate masters. And you actually came shortly afterwards the first time to Germany to initiate or to help have a class to prepare masters to get initiated.
Yes.
And I took part in that in whatever year that was.
1985?
Yeah.
84. 84, maybe.
Yeah.
Gee, I can't remember. Okay. 80, no. When were you? No. You were initiated in first degree in 86.
Yes.
So it must have been 86 or 87.
Yeah.
Yeah. And these classes that Jürgen came to were called self-assessment workshops, and I had a great time enlisting other masters who were around who had other skills, more skills than I did actually in group work. So we all banded together and had a week-long, I guess you would call it, self-help therapy session. And they were pretty wild. I don't know how you felt about it, but I felt like they were pretty wild, and we were really lucky that nothing very horrible happened in those.
Well, I felt like I had those things, I just had those because I did it beforehand, and I didn't like them anymore. So
oh, great.
I had a week of trying to hide, but on the other hand, I met you there, and we had nice encounters there, so it was worth it. So, after that, I wasn't directly initiated. There's a longer story to that, but I got initiated 3 years after that, about 3 years. So I got initiated in 1989, shortly after the wall fell, and I was initiated in Berlin, actually the center place of where the wall fell in that time. And there are lots of memories for this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, in directly at that time, I taught lots of Reiki classes in Germany, in Frankfurt, where I lived, and in the surroundings. And gradually then after this, also did my other job. I'm a computer consultant, and I did those jobs. And right now, I'm doing more my computer consultancy, and I'm not teaching anymore.
Uh-huh. And is that a decision of yours, or is it because you felt like there weren't any students?
I moved several times within Germany, and when I moved to Berlin, I felt like I don't want to build up another community of Reiki students, because it, at that time it would be much effort to do that, and I also knew I would move again. So, and also I feel like the Reiki magazine I'm doing is like my Reiki practice, because if I have spare time, I usually do something for the Reiki magazine. And maybe if I don't do the Reiki magazine anymore, I will teach again.
Uh-huh. And now you've moved back to Frankfurt also.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Great. Well, tell me, how did the Reiki magazine come to be? Did you just wake up one morning and say, wow, I think there needs to be a magazine, or?
No.
So you were pretty young when you were initiated as a master then.
Yeah.
So 26 or
26.
26.
Yeah.
So this was a great challenge for me, because of course lots of people thought that master should be at least over 30. I don't know if you ever had these conversations with people, but I did. And
no, they didn't talk to me about this.
Uh-huh. Well, lucky. And I said, well, you know, I really have to take a chance, because I just felt like this was something that was right. And of course, you know, in the 1980s, we were pretty much what you might call following our hearts, doing what seemed like the right thing to do. And on some level, I'm glad I didn't have all the experiences that I do now, because that was a really wonderful and kind of innocent time, because we just did what seemed appropriate, and we were very lucky in our way of being with people. And so, as I said before, we didn't have any terrible crises or happenings in these times, and Reiki has survived them. So that's really great. And that we still have a relationship after all these years, I think is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. So tell me, how did the Reiki magazine come to be?
Yeah, so after I got initiated, there were, of course, master's meetings in Germany, and I have quite some organizational skills, so it occurred to me that there's no address list. So I made one up. I was always fit with computers, and soon there were like news attached to the list saying, well, this is a workshop this guy is giving there about symbols, and there's this fairy tale someone had to tell, and so on. So it added up, and after a while it came out that there's something which was in German the Reiki Meister Rundbrief, which means Reiki Master's newsletter.
Uh-huh.
And that grew and grew, and people so I went there once a year and collected postage money, and then after a while I said, well, postage money alone isn't enough for the work I put in there, so there was a subscription. And so it grew. This was like the prior to the Reiki magazine thing.
Uh-huh. So how many master rune briefs were you sending out? That's interesting to know. Like
so in the beginning it was maybe 60, I would say. But then it you know, then there was this time when you actually opened that, or however you want to phrase it, that masters can initiate masters. Mm-hmm. And then there was this big boom. And I think before I closed it down, I had like 600 subscriptions.
You're kidding. And when was that?
I closed it down about 1967 or 8. 97 or
98. 97 or 98, and there were 600 subscriptions.
Yeah.
So this is masters.
Yeah.
And
this is masters who subscribed. There were lots of more who didn't.
Uh-huh. Wow, that gives us some realm of numbers. And was that just, was it German speaking, or was it in, like, did it include people in masters in Austria and Switzerland and different German-speaking countries?
Yeah, this was German-speaking, so it included the countries you just mentioned.
Uh-huh. Great. So then what happened?
Yeah, then a friend of mine, so maybe the other way around. There was a magazine in Germany called the Tao Magazine. It wrote about Eastern pathways,
mm-hmm.
all kinds of. And they did specials on certain things like Tai Chi or yoga or whatever.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They wanted to do a special on Reiki. And this guy who wanted to do it has a friend in Hamburg. And she is a friend of mine and knew that I did the Reiki Masters newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
So the three of us finally came together to do this special. And it was very successful. It was like 15,000 copies in print and sold out quite soon.
Wow.
And then we did a second one.
Mm-hmm.
And the fun thing is the first time we did it, we thought, well, what can you write about Reiki? Because at that time there were only like one or two books about Reiki, and there were lots of stories, but not really something you could tell.
Mm-hmm.
And like there were no public practice, it wasn't known in the public, and no hospitals and everything. So there was like, what would you write about? But you know, we just asked several authors about, can you write something, or can you do an introduction, or can you write about calligraphies, what you do, and so on. So we did like all those research on this. After the second special issue, and this is like what you said, did you wake up one morning? I sat together with this guy from Hamburg and in the car and said, oh, now we are finished with the second special issue, but there's so much more to write. And maybe you should do a magazine. So I went with this idea of doing a magazine for 1 year and decided I'd do it. And so the Reiki magazine was born, and this is 1996. So we started with the preparations in 1996, and the first issue came out in 1997.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And we just celebrated the 10-year anniversary of the magazine.
Yes. Yeah, that was very nice. We invited people from several traditions and lineages to come to Berlin, and we had a nice afternoon and nice evening on this.
Mm-hmm. So when the Reiki magazine first came out, was it always, well, I would say, has it always been a general magazine for Reiki, or was it meant to favor one system, like the system that you learned from me?
Well, this was always in this beginning. For the first, I think, 4 to 5 years, there was always a struggle, because as a magazine, I needed also support for the money-wise, like subscriptions and mm-hmm. advertisements. And the only community there was actually the Usui Shikiryoho Masters mm-hmm. of yours and the Reiki Alliance. And they were the only one who were organized, like in the Reiki lines.
Mm-hmm.
And this was actually also the community I came from. But there were all those other masters who have not been organized and didn't have a community. But we also wanted to address them.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. I just have to break in now and say that this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, and we'll be back with the rest of Jürgen's response to my question in just a few moments.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki practitioners everywhere prefer Astrolite massage tables because of optimum portability, leg clearance, easy setup, comfort, and quality. For 15 years, Rampa Enterprises, previously Magic Flute, has been shipping tables around the world to the global Reiki community.
Why wait any longer to get yours? Contact us now through our website at www.portablemassagetables.com, and we'll help you select just the right table to fit your needs. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Experience higher love, an archangelic journey into ascended joy and authentic living.
Your hosts, Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, will assist you to open your heart, expand your love, and be ever present with true joy.
Your journey with Sri and Kira begins right here on the Seventh Wave Network with Higher Love, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing, broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And I'm speaking with Jürgen Kindler from Germany, Frankfurt, Germany. And he's a student of mine from the late 1980s, I will say. And he started the Reiki magazine, which is a German language magazine, 10 years ago. And he's just was in the mid response to a question that I had about whether or not he started the magazine with a certain system in mind and a focus, or whether the Reiki magazine was always what I would call an ecumenical magazine for all forms of Reiki. So, Jürgen, sorry to interrupt you, but
yeah, no problem.
Commercials come first, you know.
Well, as a publisher, I know what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I just said that we also needed, for just the daily support for the magazine, we need advertisements and so on. And there was the community I was coming from was from the Usui Shiki Ryoho Masters. So, but I also, with the Reiki Masters newsletters, I had a history of being open. So there were all those rumors in the, you know, after you said people can initiate masters, other masters can initiate masters, there were all those things happening, and people didn't talk to each other. So on those meetings, only a fraction of the masters came, and there were all those rumors. And I found that, not very nice and not very professional. So I went to those people and asked them, is this true, what others say? So I did this already in the Reiki Masters newsletter, and I think it really helped getting the emotions out of the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I try to be fact-based, and also I tried, like, if some people would found another lineage or offspring, to say name it differently, because in those early days all was same the name Reiki, and it was more and more clear that it's not always the same style, direction, tradition mm-hmm. was meant.
Mm-hmm.
So with the magazine I did the same, and it was not only me, it was actually a group of 12 to 15 people in the early days who were on the editor circle, which we met like every 3 months, and together we got together the magazine and the different stories. And we had lots of discussions about what we would allow in the magazine of different styles and what we wouldn't. And we found our way with it, because now my feeling is the struggles and the emotions with the settled down. It's like there are different styles. Actually, as far as I know, especially in the English-speaking community, there are several hundreds of styles. Now, in Germany, it's not that much because it's a smaller community, just people-wise. And most of them have their own names and are clear about that, what they do and tell it, so people up front can choose what they like to do. And I feel that's eased up a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. So that's what your magazine does, is it has articles from many, from all these different styles, and if people want to submit something to you, they do that, and it's published. And you also, I know that in the early days, there was this big controversy about your advertising. Who could advertise, what they could advertise, and so on. And that was a really big controversy within the master community. And that's settled down also.
Yes. Well, I think we lose some subscriptions then. but I was sometimes very shocked, to say that hard, about the disability of people of tolerance. Because usually if you see what is good democratic behavior is sometimes you don't agree with something, but you still tolerate it.
Uh-huh.
And in Reiki community, it was like, I don't like it, I don't want to see it, I don't want to have it in the magazine.
Uh-huh.
And the kind of gist behind it really sometimes was frustrating because, people, you have to hold and also be able to hold different attitudes, even towards Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the ability has grown much in the last few years,
mm-hmm.
especially in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So these discussions we don't have anymore. We have once in a while a call or a letter towards this, having this or that advertisement, but it's not as in the early days.
Mm-hmm.
And also, well, that's for advertisement, but I want to say something what you just mentioned is we don't publish every article. We have in our editor circle, we have some criteria what we do publish and what we don't.
Mm-hmm.
So it needs to be some kind of structure, groundedness, I would say, that's the word. So if someone is like having a dream and inventing a new Reiki style and then comes to us and wants an article about it, for us we ask how much students you have, how much impact do you have with your teachings and so
mm-hmm.
on. And if it's like not really convincing us, we say, maybe it's an advertisement for you. Because
I see.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because,
good point.
Because actually, what they want is public awareness, and that's okay. And but then they go through advertising. But if it's something of public interest, like some single Reiki master, and we had this on several occasions, went to hospitals and worked there, which was some years ago very unusual. Then we made an article about it, no
mm-hmm.
matter what, although it was. Advertisement for that very person.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, amazing. And would you consider the magazine to be successful?
Yes. We've grown over the last several years, and actually we had growth by 20% over the last years. And now with the German economy has flattened in the last 3 years. Now it's going up again. So we a bit with this curves
mm-hmm.
in the economy. So last year and this year we had had lower advertisement, so that sometimes is hard to deal with. But I think lots of printed magazines do much worse than we do. So we are quite happy with the numbers we have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And do you just use subscriptions, or are you also on the newsstands?
We have partly. So we do mostly subscriptions, and we are on the newsstands, but only on the regular stations. That's a system we have in Germany. We can differentiate between the different things.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, so if someone wanted to check out your magazine, they just need to go to a railway station where they have a news agent? We would call that in English?
Yeah, in Germany it's like the railway stations usually have the bigger newsstands.
Oh, yeah.
So mm-hmm. They get better prices as well, and in exchange for this, they have to have a broader variety of magazines. Yeah, that's regulated in Germany.
Love those regulations.
Yeah, actually it's said, and it's happening in some European countries, that it's a possibility to have a public access to a wide range of magazines.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, just to have a public transportation system is fantastic.
But I see that this is really, I think that it's really good that we have this, but it also shifts towards the internet. So, and we have been on the internet from the very first day, because that's also my a media I like to work with. And so we have been on the internet, and now people go not into railway stations to inform themselves. They go to the internet.
So do you actually publish on the internet? I don't know what this means, but it's a question that comes up.
No, we so publish on the internet would mean that we have subscriptions there, and people like would go to a secured...
A secured site, and then they would read the magazine on the internet.
Yeah, but we don't do that, because there's like the big companies who try to do that all failed.
Really?
Yeah, excluding some of the bigger American industries.
Uh-huh.
So people don't want to pay things on the internet.
I see. It's just an antithesis to the whole internet philosophy.
Right. Yeah, everything is free on the internet.
Uh-huh.
And so we don't do that, but we publish, for each issue, we publish one article, so people have an idea what's in the magazine, and then they can order a sample or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And then you also have forums. Is that true?
Yes. So we have possibilities that people can interact.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, that's just in German.
Yeah, that's just in German.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Great. Well, it's very exciting. And I know also that you started the German student gatherings in Gersfeld, which is a little town outside of Fulda. I know this because I've gone to several. Is that true? Were you a part of the original group that started?
No,
this?
That's not quite correct, but it's often perceived that way.
I see.
The first student gathering was actually organized by Gerald Blomeyer and his...
His wife at the time.
And his wife and several other masters, he asked for support. So he did like the real physical organization, and for the content of holding the first meeting, he asked several masters.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second, after this one, I discovered this city hall, is that the word?
Yeah.
In Gersfeld, a big meeting space. And then it came to Gersfeld, which is actually it's close to Fulda, but most people, Frankfurt will say more. It's 100 kilometers east of Frankfurt. then there was, of course, a group again, like seven people who organized it. And later on, after some years, I and few others did it. And now it's like done by other people.
Mm-hmm. Great. It's now time for us to take another station break. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Are you tired of carrying a heavy wooden massage table around? Is your back sore? Or do you have imprints of cables and braces on your kneecaps after sitting and giving a Reiki treatment? Try a lightweight Astrolight massage table for maximum comfort. Contact us, Paul or Upasana, at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolight, the table of a lifetime.
For Spirit of Film Conversations, this is Randall Barrow. Hello, Seventh Wave listeners. I hope you'll join me each week as I explore how movies are changing the way we think, live, and dream. Spirit of Film Conversations showcases today's independent and visionary filmmakers and their personal and artistic journey to bring their vision to the big screen, television, DVD, or streaming video on the internet. Spirit of Film Conversations is also for people who make movies, whether the established film professional or the aspiring filmmaker. My show also celebrates the motion picture's unique ability to affect us emotionally, intellectually, even spiritually. So if you want to hear the real behind-the-scenes story of the most amazing and visionary films being made today and find out how you can use movies to empower you in your everyday life, join me each week on Spirit of Film Conversations every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Also, check out my website at spiritoffilm.net to find out more about the movies I talk about each week. And thanks for listening to Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change.
Discover how to create the reality you desire, manifest your destiny, and find your authentic self. Meet your angels, teachers, and guides along the way. Explore how karma is created, how contracts can be cleared, and how to heal past life and ancestral pain to clearing your path toward ascension in this lifetime. Learn how to make this experience joyful and not frightening. Jean Adrian's book, Soul Adventures, is available for purchase on her website at Amazon.com and in your local bookstore. She also created a card deck, the Inner Speak Cards, which enables fast and simple karmic clearing sessions. They are available for purchase on her website at www.innerspeak.com. That's www.inner-speak.com.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, and I'm here with Jürgen Kindler from Frankfurt, Germany. We were just speaking about the German student gathering, which has gone on for many years. I'm not quite sure. Do you remember when the first, like how many years this gathering has been held?
I think 14 years now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, I think this year was the 15th, maybe?
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
Because I remember going to the 10th anniversary, but that was way long time ago. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, 15 years. It's wonderful. And I remember that the first one that we went to was held in the old eastern part of Germany. Is that correct? Am I remembering this correctly?
It was exactly at the border as far as I remember.
Uh-huh. Out, I just remember it's out in the country.
Yes, very out in the country.
In a place that I had never been before. And
yeah, and it was not easy to have accommodation. So we had like, I think, 150 participants. And some of them, I think, needed to drive 45 minutes to get to the hotel.
Really?
Which is unusual for Germany because usually you don't have, you're more close to the venue.
Right. Well, the nice thing about Gersfeld now is that it's had this little community, which is actually used to having holiday people there, right? Mm-hmm. Has really gotten used to, I hope, the Reiki community, and because of this gathering that's been there for now 13 years. Mm-hmm. And also, there have been several master's conferences and other kinds of meetings there with Reiki.
Yeah.
So this is pretty amazing. The other, so I really have, I've attended some of these student gatherings, and it's been amazing. There was one year, I think, that there were 300 or 400 people.
300 and something, yes.
300 and something. Mm-hmm. That was an amazing year.
I think that was actually the third or so. Because the second was the first time in Gersfeld, and then we, just tried to find out things, and then we have this, I think it was a reunification holiday or something like that. So we joined it together to have a longer weekend, and I think it was your time there as well, so we had lots of people who came there.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
Yeah, and I think it's that's the limit of what Gersfeld can actually hold on people visiting.
Uh-huh. So we maxed them out at that time. Another thing that, let's see, I'm having a brain lapse. The other thing that I was interested, and I think that you've also been a part of, is, or maybe you know about, is that in the beginning, when I first started to go to Germany, there was a great debate about whether or not it was legal to actually practice Reiki in Germany. And this had to do, eventually I found out that part of this had to do with declaring taxes. And if you were in the field of education, it was different than if you were in the field of a healing technique or something. There was some difference. Am I on the right track here?
Yes. So in so the legal situation was divided between teaching Reiki and practicing Reiki.
I see.
Because in our constitution, teaching is in a very high rank. Teaching was never a problem because that's the basic freedom people have in Germany, that they can teach whatever they like to, as they can talk about everything they want to.
Right.
So, but practicing is of course something which has to do with health. So it was is in a different field, and so it was to say it mildly structured. We had doctors, and we have a special thing in Germany which we call healing practitioners.
Yes.
And they needed a special license, and other than those two can't actually heal people. This included hands-on healing. And hands-on healing or any other healing practice, first of all, wasn't at all known in Germany. So lots of people just did it and nobody cared about. So there was like no public awareness about this. And then, of course, some people felt like they don't have to pay taxes. And as soon as the tax officers found out about them, they were very angry at them. So that was part of the problem. But people learned very quickly that they have to pay taxes, even though maybe their practice is not accepted by the by the state. So then what happened is that it was, in the very early days, quite easy to get this license to be a healing practitioner. But, and so there were lots of people getting to be healing practitioners. And then it's actually this part of the healing world, so to say, is actually regulated by doctors. So the doctors then raised the examiner.
The criteria and the
examines for this. So it came to a point that almost you have to be a small doctor to be to meet this criteria.
Uh-huh.
And then something happened that there was a bigger society who is a head society for all healing activities outside the medical world.
Mm-hmm.
So it included Reiki, but all lots of other spiritual disciplines and healing techniques and hands-on healing mostly.
Uh-huh. So is this an organization from the government or?
No, this was an organization.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And those took on to fight a court case based on the constitution that this regulation which happened through the doctors is actually not allowing to people to take their profession, which is also a constitutional right. So they fought it actually through all the things, and actually the magazine also did take part in it, that we collected money for it, because it cost quite a lot of money to go through the different stages.
I can imagine.
And we won the case. So
what does that mean?
That means now that in Germany, every hands-on healing is allowed with no regulation.
Wow.
And this is like 3 or 4 years ago. And it's... You know, this is somewhat very modern Germany because, you know, the doctor regulating like all the field of healing is like broken to some extent now because the constitution uh, judge said, that if someone just lays on hands and doesn't do diagnosis and doesn't say that there is some medication to take and to be taken, they just can do it. And they just need to inform their clients that they need to still need to go to the doctor, that this is not a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And society says it should be written, and mm-hmm. the client should sign it so mm-hmm. that the practitioner is on the safe mm-hmm. side. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And it's actually working. So people really now starting Reiki practices and giving Reiki and are legal.
That's beautiful, because I know that in my time in Germany, it was very important for people to be legal
yeah.
and to be recognized officially. And I saw some students of many different levels struggling with this Heilpraktika program, and a part of me was really supportive of that, because I felt like that the public practitioners of Reiki needed to have more support, in other words, more education about that what they were doing. But on the other hand, it seemed a bit extreme. I also want to say, just for the listeners, that the what I would consider to be the medical scene, well, this is not very professional language, but anyway, that when I was in Germany, one of the things that I really enjoyed was that the Heilpraktikas, or the healing practitioners and the doctors, seemed to fill a very wide spectrum of healthcare for the patient. And that included a total acceptance of homeopathy and lots of different what we would call complementary and alternative therapies in the United States were actually a part of the traditional, or what we would call allopathic medicine scene in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always admired this system, and I'm glad that the hands-on healing therapists, so this includes like massage and shiatsu, and that's what you're calling hands-on
yeah.
healing,
yeah.
or... Yeah.
This is like, that's another realm.
Oh.
This is like really a prayer. I'm channeling energy.
Oh.
That's.
So would you, also call it like spiritual medicine? Would that be
yeah.
a phrase that might be used, or?
Or
is it really functional?
Spiritual healing is, I think, the word in English.
Spiritual healing?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if the European community, if this will set a precedent for the European community countries.
Well, the health area is not under the regulation of the European
right.
community, but the European community usually finds ways to sneak in realms they're not made for. So there are several others, like which they say it's like it's not equally economic in all countries, so then they can actually act. So, but it's a very it's not easy to do something for them, because each country has their very own way of dealing with healing.
Yeah.
Like the English people, or the UK is has a tradition of being very open to psychic healing of all kinds, and it's actually very well integrated into the system.
Yes.
And like the French do not, and actually it's close to being forbidden to hands-on healing, which I hear.
Very, something. Very close,
yeah.
I understand.
So, you know, and I don't think that the EU will do something about those kind of things.
Uh-huh.
I know that the society who did this court case in Germany has good connections on to other communities or societies like theirs on the European level, and tries to do something, but
uh-huh.
we don't know what comes out.
Well, all of this is very fascinating for an American. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, and we'll be back in a few moments for the last segment of today's show with Jürgen Kindler.
your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere, on the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight Astrolite massage table. Contact us for more information at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Being here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss being here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
The Unity Radio Hour, more than a radio show. The Unity Radio Hour is leading-edge spirituality, which will help you discover new ways to enhance your life, your relationships, your career, and more. Plan to spend every Wednesday afternoon with your host, Mindy Ottlin, for the Unity Radio Hour, broadcasting live on the Seventh Wave Network at 12 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Central.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I have with me today Jürgen Kindler from Frankfurt, Germany. And we've talked about a lot of things in the German, from the German magazine to public practice in Germany. And now I'd like to come back a little bit more to Jürgen himself. And even though you're not teaching Reiki, do you consider yourself a Reiki master?
Yes, I do, of course.
Well, you know, it was really interesting for me because there was a time that I even still call it the golden age of Reiki, which was like from about 1980 to about 1990. And during this time, the demand for first degree classes and for masters was so high, and there was this huge boom of initiation of masters. And that, for me, coincided with this boom of just the demand for it. And after this happened in the mid-1990s, there was a lull, and then masters began to have to come back to doing treatments and other things in order to create their basic income. Mm-hmm. And I think that there was a misunderstanding about what mastery was. So there have been many masters who have written me, not just masters that I've initiated, but other masters who say, well, you know, I was a Reiki master, but now I'm not because I'm not teaching. And that always is such an amazing, I don't know, assumption for me. So I'm just interested in your how you feel about that.
Well, Reiki taught me a lot of things and still is teaching me lots of things. And this has to do with a way I hold myself in processes and hold other people in processes, how I respond to people, how I heal myself when I'm ill, how I go with my illnesses in that case. And all of this is Reiki mastery. Oh, well, actually it's more being a student of Reiki, because for me that's not only bound to mastery. And so I do all this, and I feel I strongly feel that I'm still a Reiki master, and I'm sure that there will be a time when it's like the right time to do classes again.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then I'm the teaching Reiki master now.
Right. Well, it's interesting that earlier in the beginning of this interview, you said that publishing the magazine was your Reiki practice right now as a master. And from the outside, one of the things that I know that all of the people who are associated with the magazine feel about you is that you hold a very beautiful space for all of Reiki, for the whole Reiki community in Germany. And in fact, not just in Germany, but in the world. And I think that's a very unique approach and something that really takes mastery for me. Because I know that within myself, sometimes I clench up and kind of freak out at some things, some stories that I hear. And I'm just wondering, do you ever do that inside but never talk about it? Because I just want the listeners to know that I have seen him under the most amazing circumstances be totally placid and looks like nothing's wrong. So,
well, I'm a kind of person who I hold things for myself often, and so I first think them through or feel them through before I actually communicate about them. And and also I just sometimes just talk to specific people about it. And you haven't been always around, so that's the reason. Maybe you weren't in the loop. Maybe I want to share some important incidents on this path of holding it. Mm-hmm. And this was when the first time the master's symbol or kanji was published on a book.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, I think, still in the time when I did the Reiki master's newsletter. And this really hurt me, really. So, and I felt like, because the symbol is so important for me and holy, that I thought, well, now it's like published everywhere and everyone can get it and so on. And, you know, and I can imagine that lots of the listeners have the same thing if they find books where the whole initiation process is printed and so on. But then I found, I don't know, it really took me, I think, some weeks, not like, all, not full-time weeks, but a period of time. And I finally got that it doesn't change my practice of holding it in the way I hold it. And since ever then, I made that distinction. So, and actually, that really helps me through lots of things. If someone is like initiating first, second, and master's degree in 1 weekend, which I consider a very short time for this amount of knowledge and touching and inner wisdom which is given, I just can say now, well, that's another path, and I don't hold it that way. So I don't need to be threatened anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, with my inner, you know, I really believe that people do their best according to their own knowledge and own wisdom. And so I just trust that those people do that they think. And if I actually then talk to them, I just ask them, you know, I do it this way, and you do it that way. So how it come? You know, what's the difference? What do you think how do you see this thing I see different? I just ask him openly.
And then what is the response that you've gotten?
Well, that's mostly the response I got is I never thought about it.
Uh-huh.
I was taught that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought about it differently. So, and and then it's just sharing. And and you know, with this response I mostly get, it's like then I really not threatened anymore, because I see there's no bad intention.
Yes.
You know, it's not usually, and I like with 99% people do not anything that to threaten me, you know, in their practice. It's like they just do it because they have been taught that way or have other reasons to do it that way. And I might not agree, but they do it, especially in Reiki, they do it to their best intents.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I also agree. One of the things, though, that I've always admired in you is that it took you a few weeks and it took me a few years. So that's really wonderful. And I have met Reiki students from every kind of form of practice of Reiki who have been deeply touched by Reiki and have a wonderful connection with the energy of Reiki and do wonderful things. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing else that I can say except that it works for them. What I do works for me, and that's how it is. Yeah. Well, Jürgen, we need to end our interview. It's just sped by like Zoom. So thank you very much for coming. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure.
And thank you for giving us all your information and your background. It's been a joy, and I know the listeners will really have good value from this interview. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. So this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.